In this episode, we're going to break down terrible podcast advice, growth advice you should absolutely ignore, and what to do instead. Welcome to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing, a show helping entrepreneurs with podcasts turn a slow growth show into a rapidly growing positive ROI podcast. My name is Anthony Winery.
I'm Tig O'Shea.
Look, Tig, in our days, we're not that old, we're relatively young, but in our time, in our short time on this planet, we've seen our fair share of terrible podcast advice, and I will not stand for our listeners to get sucked in to wasting their time to applying strategies with hopes that's going to help them grow, and then to be let down because they're taking actions that aren't actually helping them grow. I'm not going to do it, man.
Well, we've seen a disproportional amount of this, but why? Why is it that there's so much advice out there we don't agree with and it doesn't frankly seem to work?
I think the simple answer is most people just have a guesswork approach. They see other people within the podcasting space, whether that's entrepreneurs, whether that's Steve Butler, whether that's Jay Rogan. We see other people doing things, and then if enough people are following a specific action, i.e. promoting on social media, wink, wink, we then think to ourselves, okay, everyone else is doing it, therefore it must be a good thing, or therefore it must work, so why don't I start promoting?
Monkey see, monkey do.
But what the monkey, I thought this feels terrible saying monkey see, monkey do, right? But what then happens is we, as a monkey, I'm saying ourselves as monkeys here, right?
Sure, we're all, fundamentally, we're all monkeys, right?
What we then do is we then take these actions unaware that, let's say if you're following Stephen Butler, he's got an entire team behind him. He has a huge following. He has like actual resources that we might not have as the entrepreneur with a podcast, where it's not our full-time thing. It's a sidearm they're trying to make profitable.
Yep.
So really is a matter of not really testing things out ourselves. If we do it, then we just follow along and hoping that is going to help us grow. But that rarely happens. And again, we do not want you wasting a single minute or even like a thought on advice that just won't work for you. So here are the terrible advice you should absolutely ignore and what to do instead. Tig, take away with number one.
Well, number one, the terrible advice is to promote on social media.
Tell me more. Okay.
Wow. Well, I will tell you more because I think we need to be a bit more specific because there's lots of different types of promotions and I've seen a couple of genius ones. But the herd mentality of promoting, the one that you see everyone doing, the one that we have to decline about 50 posts a day from our Facebook group from, and the one that is taken as just the standard thing that you do, but no one knows why and is not working for anyone, is go check out my episode. Cue Canva graphic of some random guest and expect people to then tune into half an hour just because they saw a face that is they don't even recognize.
The Canva graphics do get me. I don't think they're effective. They do really annoy me.
They don't make any sense. And most of the time, they look quite homemade as well.
You know what? It's funny because I think a lot of people listening right now probably do Canva graphics. It's a semi-roast.
If this is you, I'm sorry. And again, like, it's just what we see and everyone just thinks this is what we do. It's not a personal dig if you're doing this because it's just the natural path to follow, right? But doesn't mean it's the right one, which is the point. And I think, you know, what's important to address is, yeah, Anthony, we see this so much. Why does the typical promotion format on social media of, you know, making a pretty standard post such as, go check out my episode. On today's episode, we have X guest, bog standard Canva graphic, made an audiogram. Why does that approach not work?
Simply put, we're making the wrong assumption that our followers actually care about our podcast or our guest.
Oof.
Right? And that's horrible, right? But here's the thing. Because other celebrities do that, they can get away with it because they've built such a raving audience and fan base who they can just say, check out this new episode, and people will listen.
Or in 2015, when there was like, you know, five podcasts, people might have just taken a punt on it.
But now it's so competitive and so many people are promoting. And if you think about it, what's a value prop? What would the stranger or your follower gain from listening?
By the way, if anyone's listening, I know there was way more than five podcasts. I know there was probably way more than I actually thought there was that just wasn't as popular with the general public and there just weren't as many posts on Facebook. That's all my point is.
Disclaimer. But it's way more competitive now, right? There's so many people trying to say, check out this, check out that, check out. What's the value proposition? Why should a listener, why should a stranger, or why should a fan of yours who follows you on social media, why should they care to listen to this episode? What's the value proposition? And I think that's where we separate promotion from actually just like effective promotion.
Yeah.
Not just hoping people will listen, but giving them a reason why they should check out an episode. Instead of check out this episode, start with, have you ever struggled with slow and steady growth and unaware of how to actually grow the show.
Right. Have you ever wondered where the phrase monkey see, monkey do comes from?
Yeah. Make it far more intriguing for a stranger or a current follower to actually want to be interested in the episode. So that's the first thing. Instead of just promoting and saying check out and just providing information and vomiting information on your promotional pieces, make it intriguing, make it interesting, and have the value proposition be at the forefront of your promotions.
Boom, there we go. Very well put. So number two, Anthony, what is the second piece of terrible advice that is absolutely rife out there on the podcasting streets?
Go for your dream guests. If you want to grow, find people with massive followings and get them on your show.
Like get big guests onto your show. Like yeah. Try and land big guests.
Yeah, okay. Trying to land big guests. And you know what's funny? I jest because honestly, it makes logical sense. You're like, oh, you know what? I'm going to get this guy who has a million plus followers on Instagram and he talks about podcasting. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to get him on my podcast. We're going to have a great conversation. He's going to promote us to his audience and his audience will now become my own audience. That's the logic. And when you write it out, it sounds pretty good.
Oh, Anthony, it's good for the network.
That, and again,
oh, might take a lot of value from the conversation. Yeah, cool. We're not saying having big guests is a bad thing. But specifically for the sake of growth, it's a bad strategy that a lot of people believe is the key to growth.
For your network, it's absolutely awesome. For yourself, it's also just great. And for the conversation, for your listeners, it does provide an extra layer of value for sure, absolutely. But when it comes down to the nitty gritty of will it help you go from 1,000 downloads 1 month and 5,000 monthly downloads 6 months later, it just won't.
Nope.
So this is what we mean. Like, we'll obviously taking the piss, having the laugh, but we're just trying to share like what will actually help you grow your show. There's reasons why you might want to get high profile guests on, but again, we're trying to just focus on the growth side of your podcast.
Yes.
You attracting the right listeners to your show and getting them coming back for more. So Tig, if the belief shouldn't be, oh, I need to get high profile guests on to grow my show, what should the belief be? Because there's nothing inherently wrong with actually wanting a high profile guest on your podcast, right?
Yeah.
But it's the belief that's going to lead to growth that's a bit flawed to some degree. So what should people do instead, I guess?
So people should, and you know, the reasons why it's flawed is, again, one, it leaves way too much out of your control as the host, because a lot of the time the guest doesn't promote. If they do, what is the extent of the promotion? How many of their followers are going to see it? Yada, yada, yada. Right. So number one, it's very much out of our control. That's why it doesn't work for growth. And number two, let's say the guest does share and he does a really good job. They do a really good job and they bring over 10% of their million follower audience.
Mm.
But most of those followers are coming for the guest. So to think that they're then just going to easily latch on to the rest of your show and just by default become a regular listener is, again, a flawed belief. Yes, there may be some crossover if you're talking about very similar niches. Yes, if you do an exceptionally good job, some will stick around. But again, that's not the reason the majority of people are coming. They're not really coming to find a new podcast. They're coming to listen to that person that they follow. I haven't really answered your question yet. So what you should do instead? Well, number one, focus on an entire content strategy that will keep people around rather than just relying on one guest that will keep people around. But then what good is that if you're not having that guest on every time, right? And then number two, what the first thing I mentioned was it leaves a lot out of your control when you're relying on someone else to promote, no matter how big they are or how good friends you are with them ultimately. So what's the better method? Well, take it into your own hands and be a guest on other shows, because then the roles are reversed and now you're the source of authority somewhere else that you know is going to get promoted to X amount of listeners on their show. And yeah, you basically just flip the script.
The spotlight.
And then it's much more controllable and much more reliable.
The spotlight is now on you. You are the authority. If their listeners absolutely love you as a guest, they're now far more likely to take the next step and listen to your show. But more importantly, because you have the content strategy which you prioritize, they'll keep on coming back for more. So that's it.
That's a good point. Actually, before we move on, I want to expand on what I said before about the guest comes and most of those listeners are just coming from the guest. Most people think that the big guest is going to get people that will just automatically stick around. But that can happen, but only if you have a content strategy in place that's made and designed. And when I say content strategy, I say, you know, your sequence of episodes. So not just that episode, but everyone that comes after.
The topics you decide to cover on your podcast. With the intention of having listeners binge your content.
Yep. Only if that content strategy and your sequence of episodes is designed for fans of that guest, for example, to stick around, is it then a logical move to get that guest on in the hopes of retaining their audience long term? Got it?
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, and I would say yes.
Cool. Anyway, on to the next. So, Anthony, what is the third piece of terrible advice that podcasters should ignore at all costs?
Repurpose your content and create social media promotional clips.
What? I thought that was leveraged. I'm getting like a million pieces of content out of an hour.
And how many listeners?
Ouch.
See, this is the thing with promotional clips. They feel really good. And I mean, we've done an experiment recently.
Hang on a second. We need to talk about that.
We'll talk about that in the future episode.
Okay.
It sounds really good. You get tons of exposure on loads of different channels. And people find out about your podcast. And you'll gain listeners from that. But again, the principle remains the same. Just because you get exposure on these promotional sites doesn't mean it's going to translate to listeners of your podcast. It just doesn't. And it rarely does. If you've been doing promotional clips, I'm always going to refer back to this. What is your own experience creating promotional clips? Have they been working specifically to help you grow your podcast? It might be working to help you get more exposure, period, because you're now having views and impressions. But does that translate into an increase in listenership? Again, monkey see, monkey do. And we want to really see. We don't have like 2020 vision.
Yep. Hopefully this episode is the equivalent of giving your glasses a really, really, really good wipe.
That's it. So in terms of what to do instead, my genuine thoughts would just be focus on the advice we gave with the first one. Instead of promoting on social media, instead of relying on promotional clips, focus on finding online communities and providing value to that communities. And then actively reaching out to members in that communities and sharing a specific episode with them based on their interaction and engagement and based on the topic of that community.
You could sum that all up and say, instead of focusing on posting and output, focus on engaging.
Focus on engaging with potential listeners. That's it. So last but not least, so far we have terrible advice number one, promote on social media. Check this out. Terrible advice number two, get high profile guests on your show in order to explode your podcast. Terrible advice number three, create promotional clips to get more exposure on your show. And finally, what's the last terrible advice that most podcasters are being told?
Start a YouTube channel for your podcast in order to be more discovered.
Very interesting. So I guess, what do you mean?
Well, a mentality that we see very often in the podcasting space is, if you do Zoom interviews, for example, just bang them on YouTube.
Because why not?
Because it's just another place to have it, right? So you might as well start. Basically, you just might as well is the thought.
Yeah. And also, it's like, again, YouTube.
Which I get. I honestly do get. Because again, logically, that does make sense, doesn't it?
You've recorded an episode. You've got a video for it. There's something called YouTube Tie. I don't know if you've heard about it, but like actually has an algorithm that allows you to discover new videos. So if you put it on there, you've already recorded the content. So why don't you get more exposure? And why don't you grow your podcast by just putting it on this other platform where people are watching and consuming podcasts? What's the issue here? I don't really see. That sounds like a really good idea to me, Tyke.
Yeah, again, remember that this is terrible advice for growing your podcast. Yeah, not just terrible advice, full stop, but terrible advice, for growing your podcast. So the reason for that is you're now posting on YouTube, but if you're just repurposing on YouTube, basically, the videos are not optimized to really get views on YouTube because it's unlikely, and I say that having seen a lot of podcasters that are doing this and reposting on YouTube, unlikely to have a thumbnail that's really optimized for the platform. Unlikely to have the visual that's really optimized for the platform. And what I mean by that is just reposting a Zoom interview is not really optimized for the platform. It's actually not very engaging. Yes, it's a video, but it's not very an engaging one. So it's very rare. In fact, we've never seen a YouTube channel that's just for the sake of continuation and just having it as an extra. We've never seen that do well for the podcast. We have seen YouTube channels do well, but it's when that's the priority, like when they're making a video podcast and a YouTube podcast primarily.
When they have a video first approach.
Yeah, there we go. When the priority is there and the focus is there. And then we've even got clients that have made a YouTube channel actually pretty good going for them, right?
Correct.
Thousands of subscribers and counting. But we've never seen that when they have an audio first approach and they're just sticking it on YouTube for the sake of it. And again, still, the question might be, if it's not hurting anyone, right? But it is, because it's hurting your focus. Because then now you're thinking, oh, okay, how do I grow my YouTube channel as well? How do I just get the podcast to work a bit better on YouTube? Is there some like different keyword strategy for YouTube? I hear YouTube's SEO is a thing. There's a lot of agencies that do that. And all that is just noise and distraction away from growing your podcast. If you want to grow your YouTube channel in a video podcast, again, there's nothing wrong with that. Go for it if that's what makes most sense for you. But there's a trade-off. It's one or the other with Total Focus. You can't do both with Total Focus unless you've got a huge team behind you.
That's it. That's really it. So I guess the biggest takeaways really is just, again, constantly questioning the actions we're taking in order to try to grow our shows. Because oftentimes, advice that I give, and they're not like, we're obviously joking around, like they're not terrible advice. They're pretty bad when it comes to like, you know, But the point here is, it makes sense why these advice are given.
Yeah. At face value, they make sense.
At face value. But when you just do a little bit of digging and really explore that further, you realize that often it doesn't actually drive a lot of growth. It actually leads to less focused work.
Right. And because to your point, doing any of these things when they don't actually help you grow, when, as you say, you do, it's not just, oh, but why not? Or it's not just, oh, it's not hurting me, so I still might as well carry on. It is hurting you because it's hurting you because it's detracting from the things that do work.
That's it. For like a theme recently, just about focus.
Yeah, God. Well, on the next episode, you're going to hear all about our experiment and our temporary focus on putting out short form clips on social media. I feel like we've probably spoiled it with the way we've spoken about it. But if you want to hear the full breakdown and, you know, what we did and how it went, and most importantly, the final outcome of, you know, what did posting short form clips from our podcast on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube Shorts do? Every single day for 30 days do for our podcast downloads. That's what we're going to cover in the next episode. Don't worry, we'll keep it brief.
And look, if you haven't already, be sure to go down to the show notes and grab your free copy of our best-selling book, Podcast Marketing, or typing www.getmorelisteners.com/book. And of course, what you'll also get is a totally personalized mini show audit. So again, that's completely personalized to you and your podcast. Yes, like I've said 1,000 times, this is absolutely 100% a bribe and a way to get you into our world and what we're doing.